Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us again. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, Counseling Pastor, Senior Citizens Pastor, and Newlywed Pastor, since we have started a class for newlyweds at our church. And it's a joy to be able to bring you back to Andre and Susan Robitaille, who've been telling us their story. And Andre, we kind of left everybody hanging. You have been an agnostic for many years after being an atheist before that. But you are now reading the Bible to just kind of disprove it, I guess you could say.
That feels a little malicious, the term disprove to me. I was skeptically curious.
Okay.
Very skeptically curious. So I kept spending a lot of time studying and reading. We had made these friends at the church we were going to, one of which runs a apologetics
ministry.
Organization, ministry. And he does annual conferences. And at one of those conferences, Susan went to it. And as somebody who kept studying, I was looking through different types of products for more academic study.
Yeah.
And they had somebody who came in from Logos, the
software.
Software programs, yes.
500-pound of the software world. And they were running a deal, and Susan got it.
Well, you asked, and I thought, oh, Lord, this is $1,200. It was not cheap. And I thought, worth it if it's
it'll help him answer his questions.
Correct.
Right.
So we
right.
made that financial investment.
Okay.
But he uses it a lot.
Right.
So,
I've kept dumping money into it ever since.
Yeah. But it's, you buy Logos. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But it gave me, amongst other things, a lot of tools to keep researching and to look further and further back into the history of the church to do so.
Now I can ask him questions.
Oh, okay,
It's really kind of neat,
But through that made my questions more pointed to people who could answer them theologically for me.
Mm-hmm.
I started to discover podcasts, things that speak well to an agnostic or an atheist, William Lane Craig or something like that.
Yeah.
And I started to dig through some of that, and it slowly would just peel away more and more of the objections.
Okay.
Through work, I'll try to find the shortest way to give this. The president's son had gone on a missions trip. They were Catholic, devout Catholic.
Okay.
Went on a missions trip down to Nicaragua for a week or 10 days or something, and then you dig ditches for putting in water systems.
Sure.
The usual, let's do some works.
Right.
Perfect.
Right.
And then he's like, Dad, you got to go. So he and the president went the next year and went for the mission trip. And then, because he's a president, can do what he wants, he worked with them to kind of reduce as much of the Bible out of it as possible to make it possible for people from work to go.
Oh, okay.
So for years, they were paying airfare, room and board. I mean, flying 40 people down to Nicaragua every year for team building, but they're still praying. They're doing some light ministry there.
It's called Amigos for Christ.
Yeah. It's and I had gone on that for 2 years straight.
Okay.
Two, right? Not three?
Two, yeah. It was a humanitarian endeavor. They kind of and Andre, you know, is a good guy. I mean, he likes helping people and doing these. So this was right up his alley, being able to do this good work for these poor communities in Nicaragua. They worked hard, but it was through work. It wasn't like, let's go on a Christian mission where we're going to go out and spread the gospel. It was, let's go and dig ditches
help
to bring,
people.
To bring plumbing into these impoverished areas.
And at the time, we had switched churches from the one we were first going to as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to a different church, and I wasn't getting a lot of the message. Mm-hmm. It was a very kind of street preacher, for search for a better term, and I apologize, one-trick pony of, I'll just speak the word, and then I'm going to convert people today.
I see.
And the message really never changed week after week after
week. But they were lovely people.
They were.
Okay. They were warm, lovely people, I will say that.
But they had the concerns of people that live in Milwaukee, right?
Okay.
Their worries are a different sort of worry. Mm-hmm. The things that they pray for, their needs are very Western city needs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kept looking at this as an agnostic, is this the change that happens in people? They were very loving, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see this overwhelming change in them or really anything. They just looked like nice people to me.
Okay.
From that viewpoint of an agnostic.
Right.
So first year I went on the mission trip to Nicaragua, had a great time, very life-changing, pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Second year I went, less life-changing from that aspect because you're desensitized to seeing the insane poverty.
Sure.
But I spent more time getting to know all of the missionaries, the people who were there for a year or two, college kids or 30-year-olds that were spending years of their life in sacrifice. And I spent a lot of time with them, and I especially spent time on one bus ride in particular, our bus ride in the middle of nowhere in Nicaragua, right? Speaking to a man who was married to the nurse missionary there, and they were about to have a kid.
Okay.
And just me and him in the seat talking for an hour straight, mm-hmm. and I'm telling him everything I got. And at the end of it, and I paraphrase poorly, he said the same thing that first pastor I got to know said, which was basically that he was excited to hear about the journey and the change that God was making and going to make in my life. And I was still a non-believer at this point.
Yeah.
But the difference here was the sheer joy. This guy barely knows me. He doesn't really know me at all.
Right.
The pure joy in his face as he's telling me this, it completely set me back on my heels. I did not know. I did not understand it. So I spent every bus ride from then on, every day in silence, trying to figure out, okay, what do I have left? What's holding me back? And I couldn't find anything.
I say.
I want to say, during all this, we were still fighting like crazy. I mean, the fights were still bad.
Okay.
And I had reached a point where, just out of self-preservation, I'm like, maybe we do have to look into separating starting with separate. I didn't want to, but, you know, our son was growing up in this. There was no harmony. And I was convinced, you couldn't tell me otherwise. I said, listen, we don't even stand a chance without Christ in the middle of this.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I don't want it to be this way, but until you give your life to Jesus, until we put him at the helm, mm-hmm. this is what we're going to have.
Yeah, yeah.
And if this is what we're going to have, I can't live like this. It's destroying both of us as people.
Right, right.
And our son.
Right.
At some point, we're going to have to call this quits because it's too ugly. And so I wasn't trying to give him an ultimatum, but it was an ultimatum, but it was just the reality of things.
Yeah.
So I say to him, we don't stand a chance until you come to Christ. And I give him the best presentation of the gospel I knew how to give. And I turned it over and I'm like, well, I
don't know what else to say.
There's nothing else to say. I prayed. I laid everything. I just totally devoted myself to giving it to God. I prayed for this man. That summer, I went through my house and everything that was ungodly in any way. Old books I had accumulated had occultic ties to horoscopy things or Eastern philosophies. I threw everything in the trash. I went through belongings I had that I had gotten through bad means or everything ungodly I owned, I threw in the trash. I got rid of.
Okay.
I repented of every. I got myself as clean before God as I knew how to, and I just gave the situation to him.
Okay.
So he went on that trip to Nicaragua, and he said to me, we talked on the phone, and he said, well, what if I do this? What if I do this? What if I give my life to Christ and nothing changes? Things don't get better. And I said, things might not get better. I mean, when you give your life to Jesus, that doesn't mean your life is suddenly going to like turn into sunshine and lollipops. I mean, some of the apostles gave their life to Christ. They died horrible, brutal deaths. So this idea that your life's going to turn into cheery, rosy, but is a myth. But I know that we don't stand a chance without it.
Right.
So do this not because you're going to hope that we're going to, but do this because you need salvation for your soul.
Right.
That's the reason to do it.
Right. Okay.
So he came home from Nicaragua, and one day, strangest conversion story ever, he texted me and said, well, .. I did it.
Okay.
I said, you did it. And I was like pinching myself, and it wasn't the conversion story that you would hope for. It wasn't a unshackled moment with the weeping and the it was very like, no, let's not make a big deal out of this. I've done this, and so he was hesitant about it, but it took a long time for the reality of him being a believer to sink in with me. It was too overwhelming.
So, Andre, that was how long ago?
2 years.
Two years ago.
A little more than 2 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And things didn't, like, overnight turn better. And it was right about this time, you know, there's some bad teaching out there. Wife, submit to your husband sort of teaching, and gets glossed over. The husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was right about this time that I started reading some really great Christian teaching about marriage that really emphasized the love that your husband is supposed to demonstrate. Yeah. I started realizing, like, we need a do-over.
Kind of a renewal of your wedding vows, you
Well,
mean?
We needed, you know, you get born again as a person.
Yeah.
And when you're in a marriage, you two become one.
Right.
We needed a born-again marriage.
Okay.
We didn't have a marriage before God.
Right. God wasn't even involved.
It wasn't there. It wasn't in a church. It wasn't in front of a pastor. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in front of most of our friends and families weren't believers.
Right.
I wasn't at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I put it is, if God was there, he was there despite us, not because we asked him
in.
And Susan believed very strongly, and it took me a while to understand, but she believed very strongly that we needed a covenant with God.
You brought up covenant.
Covenant relationship, exactly.
Yeah, that was, it's funny when you brought that up earlier. We didn't have a covenant. We had a commercial relationship.
Yes,
okay? You brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
And that minister, Tim Keller, who's a well-known author and minister, he's got a lot of teachings on that.
Okay.
And they're magnificent.
Yeah.
And I realized we needed to have a covenant before God.
Uh-huh.
And we needed to kind of go back, and he needed to demonstrate to me that I kind of put my foot down and I said, listen, you're going to have to propose to me for this thing. You're going to have to plan this, and you're going to have to pull this off yourself. And not because I couldn't do it in a minute, but because I did it all the first time. And I think because it was so easy for him all those years to just throw the D word around.
Right.
I said, you're going to have to invest in this emotionally with your time, with your energy. And then it'll be something precious to you that you're not going to be so quick to want to
cast aside.
Correct.
So you both realized, okay, if Andre takes the leadership, he's going to be exercising the spiritual leadership.
Correct.
Of this new Christian family relationship.
Correct.
Which is what you wanted.
Correct.
Which is what you needed.
Correct.
Right. And we, again, have run out of time, but what an awesome story. And that's where we came in to have heard what you guys did after you did it. And we just wanted to share that with our listeners. And what an awesome story of God's amazing grace. And now we'll have you back in about 10 years, and you can just kind of tell us, okay, chapter 2 of this Christian marriage was like this.
Correct.
God bless you. So glad to have you with us. And folks, regardless of what your marriage looks like, God can do the same thing. Give him all the pieces, and he'll put it together the way he wants to. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.